around Bridgeport, Stamford, and Norwalk, tied for third with Philadelphia as a top destination for New Yorkers moving out of the city, with 1,456 mail forwarding requests, according to New York Times data. The Torrington area ranked 10th in the country with 644 requests. The Hartford region ranked 15th with 448 requests. And New Haven and Milford areas ranked 20th with 414 requests. Now, this exodus from New York isn't just by happenstance. We got to get to the bottom of this. We're welcome our next guest. He's the former president of the Connecticut Realtors Association, Michael Barbaro. Michael, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Nice to have you with us this morning. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Good, not too bad. Thanks for being with us. Okay, so we're hearing that people are flocking to Connecticut from New York. I'm imagining first of all, we're kind of tied with them regarding the amount of coronavirus. I mean, granted, they're a bigger state, so we had less, of course, than they did, but we were number one and two, respectively, New York and Connecticut. So then why the move from New York to Connecticut so abruptly?
So what I'm hearing from my clients and, you know, the people that we're working with that are moving here is it's really becoming a quality of life issue for them, right? So some people were trapped in apartments for 2 months and, you know, a very small apartment at that matter, you know, what the prices are like in New York City. So after being trapped together, trying to work from home, people are realizing they want more space. A lot of people have adopted pets and they want places for their pets. And I think there's going to be, I think what we're witnessing now is people that have gotten a taste of a better work-life balance, and I think they're not prepared to go back. And part of that is, you know, concerns over COVID, right? And do you want to get on mass transit? And do you want to get on a subway or in an elevator to ride up, you know, 35 floors, shoulder to shoulder? But it's absolutely the quality of life that we're hearing about.
I mean, people have been into pets for years. There's no recent surge in pet ownership. It's got to be a lot more than just that. And quality of life, I mean, yeah, I guess I can understand that. People want a lawn, you know, and want to raise a family and, you know, with a backyard and the swing set. I can certainly understand the attraction. And I guess if you're working in New York, residing in Lower Fairfield County gives you a similar lifestyle. Would you agree?
I would agree. But the interesting dynamic is typically what I would see in my own practice is the line would be drawn right at the Milford-Stratford town line. So people wouldn't go one more train stop into Milford. It was just unacceptable to them. What we're seeing now, and, you know, I attribute it personally to the fact that people don't need to commute every day. So a daily commute, you want to be as close to the train station, you want to be as close to New York with that train ride. But what we're experiencing now is people going farther out because they're going to be commuting once a week or twice a month. Now, New Haven and the area has become even more appetizing because, you know what, if you travel once or twice a week, you could even drive maybe 25 minutes to get to the train station and then take an extra 40-minute train ride. But we're seeing this surge in every part of the state. I heard you mentioning some things before I came on. We're seeing it in along the eastern and border with Rhode Island. We're seeing it in the Hartford area. Our market, we haven't seen a market like this in a decade.
So you're saying a lot of people are now working from home. Is that by choice or is that their employer who is mandating it due to minimizing any further spread of coronavirus?
So I think it's a combination of both. And so what I'm hearing from people is first it was, you know, things that were imposed. You couldn't work. Everybody was working from home. A lot of employers have already determined that they're not going back to work, at least until the first of the year. They're going to wait out to see what's going on in the fall and if there is some, you know, some resurgence to this. But as I said, people are actually starting to get a taste of, you know, having some balance. And so I think a lot of people, I think what the propensity is going to be is even if people say, hey, we're opening back up, we expect you to come back in 7 days a week. I think you're going to find a lot of people, you know, want this partial work from home life, and I think in some cases that means a bigger house. Who knows what the kids are going to be? So there's a number of different reasons, but all in all, it's great for Connecticut. I mean, we ranked at the bottom of the list from 2000, and this isn't a Connecticut realtor stat. This came right from Ben Barnes when Ned Lamont just won the election. And in 2010 to 2017, the national average of price appreciation was about 43.3%. Connecticut didn't even make a single digit. I think we were 0.8. So we are long overdue for this. It is, if you are a seller now, if you've thought about either downsizing and maybe moving into a condo, if you don't need that big yard, if you need more room, and you were thinking about going up, there has never been a better time to sell in Connecticut, not in my career.
That's exactly where I was going next. I mean, I'm so used to hearing for quite a long time that people are leaving the state of Connecticut. So now you're saying people want to come to Connecticut. It can't be for the high taxes, although if you're coming from New York, I guess it'll be pretty par. And especially when they can continue to work one or two days a week and take the Metro North into the city. I guess other than the lifestyle, what is the attraction? I'm trying to get a grasp of this because I know you've mentioned some of the, you know, allowing pets and you can have lawns and but they could also move, you know, to Westchester County if they really wanted to get out of the city. Westchester is beautiful and it's less of a commute into New York. What is the attraction of Connecticut to them?
Yeah, so let me back up one second. Well, something you said. You said you're used to hearing people are leaving Connecticut. You're probably hearing that from me, right? I was one of the people that was touting it. It was something that I wanted to talk about. It certainly didn't help my business. And, you know, I was claiming, you know, I was crying wolf because people were leaving the state. And you know, legislators would tell me they weren't and we're never going to be Florida and whatever the case might be. But here's the thing. One thing about real estate is, and I've always said this, I said we needed to generate, we have to stop talking about the potential we have in Connecticut. We need to generate a state where people absolutely have to be there, okay? And for some reason, I don't know, and we can pontificate on it, but I don't know. I can tell you what anecdotally I hear from my clients. They want more room. They don't want to be, you know, trapped in here. But instead of sitting back and saying, hey, look, they came anyway with, you know, high taxes, I think now is the time we need to listen to them as they're coming in, right? So, you know, why don't we get rid of the mansion tax, which probably doesn't bring in much revenue anyway? Why don't we get rid of the estate tax as people are starting to make decisions? No. Because as you said, they can go anywhere. And the good news is if they do have to be in close proximity to New York City, we have that, right? And we have an excellent quality of life, and we do have what I've heard people, you know, brag about for years, this great education system. Well, that's great. Let's add some more great things to that. Let's get us a great tax structure. Let's get some stability in the government, and let's continue this momentum because, you know, this doesn't have to stop, and I don't anticipate it stopping, providing we can get people to realize, you know, that this is the right time to get their houses. We can get some inventory, which we're very low on right now. So we're seeing multiple offers in every town. No. We're seeing houses go on the market and sell in the first day with multiple offers. Mm-hmm. You know, it is just for whatever reason they're coming here, Gary, they're coming here. I think we need to roll out the welcome mat.
Yeah, we're speaking with the former president of the Connecticut Realtors, Michael Barbaro. You know, I was in the legislature during the Malloy administration, and we tried to get rid of the excise tax. We tried to get rid of the mansions tax or the wealth tax. We tried to get rid of a lot of these taxes, and oh man, we just fell flat. And I'm just trying to do a comparison to that period of time to the present day. Now, granted, this is a different administration, although we still have the same majorities in the House and Senate. The difference now is that due to the coronavirus and the shutdown of the state and consequently a shutdown of our economy, we're in a bigger deficit now than we were before. And although these other taxes may not equate to much, to your point, and I happen to agree with you, in the big picture, it doesn't amount to much. All the reason why we were trying to eliminate it, but we're going to be at a point in time very, very soon that every revenue stream is going to be accounted for and needed, and therefore would be difficult to eliminate even the most minute. Even though every point that you just brought up is so valid, I so much agree with you. I just don't see knowing what I know, the elimination of revenue streams. In fact, quite the contrary, I see the creation of more revenue streams of all sizes. But you said something a moment ago that really intrigues me, in that it's a seller's market right now. And I think that's great, you know, because that means obviously that you can ask for more for your home. And I mean, you could ask, theoretically, you can ask for anything. Doesn't mean anybody's going to buy it at that price, but you can at least start somewhere and then wheedle down into typical negotiations. And that's great. You know, that's great. But what is the inventory like as far as the Connecticut housing market?
Our inventory right now is pretty low, right? And so one of the things that happened is we had a lockdown during COVID. So the typical homes that we would have seen come onto the market in the spring were stymied. And there was a lot of people that either thought, our administration here of our Connecticut Association of Realtors, our leadership team and our staff worked very closely with the Lamont administration and DECD. And we were able to demonstrate how critical it was, the real estate market was to Connecticut industry. And we were very appreciative of the fact that we remained essential. However, not everybody knew that. I mean, people just, people were, disconnected and they thought, it's illegal to sell my house right now. And so a lot of people didn't put their houses on the market, right? And so here we come, we have this, this boom of people wanting to come here. And, let me make a connection. So before I was talking about, what poor price appreciation we've seen since the mortgage crisis of 2008, right? Well, what that translates into is we still today, or at the beginning of what we started to see as a boom, had low prices, very low prices, great values. Now, we're seeing those climb today because, as you know, right, the laws of supply and demand. For years, Connecticut has defied the laws of supply and demand, which I think is as reliable as the laws of physics. And so therefore, we were defying gravity here in our housing market. But today, we're now starting to move forward. Prices are starting to climb. But if you came into this market, if you were looking to get out of the city and you started to look at Jersey and you started to look at Westchester, you weren't seeing the kind of values that you saw here in Connecticut.
Oh.
But I will tell you, people came in first and, you recited some of the stats on the address changes and what the U.S. Postal Service is reporting. That's all positive. A lot of people moved here. A lot of people approached houses that were not for rent but for sale and said, hey, I'd like to rent your house in the long term. And then a lot of those buyers, what we're seeing now is they're saying, we love it here. We want to convert this rental, this short-term rental, if you will, through the end of the summer, which many of them went to, and we'd like to stay here and we'd like to buy this house. So I'm seeing markets that have been depressed since 2008, particularly the lower Fairfield County and some of the higher-end towns, all of a sudden multiple offers. Again, no inventory. Houses that have been on the market, even in my own inventory, that have been on the market for, a year, all of a sudden, overnight, start to sell. And there was a brief period in there, right around the COVID height, when no one knew it was going to happen. And we thought, the sky was falling, and rightfully so, no one knew what was coming. There were a few people, there was a few fire sales. But literally, overnight, I've been through two of these in my career. One as a builder-developer, and one in the early 2000s as a broker. A real estate broker, I've never seen it transition from a buyer's market to a seller's market so quickly.
Wow, that's that's incredible. It really is. When did this start? When did you start to notice that people were leaving, specifically New York City, and relocating to Connecticut?
So immediately, our rental market dried up, and I think there was a response from the Lamont administration. I think they recognized it, and I think that they imposed in one of their executive orders that short-term housing had to be reserved for healthcare professionals and anyone that was essential. And I think that was probably pretty smart, right? We didn't know what we were facing. We didn't know who we were going to have to move in or who was going to need temporary housing. So we immediately noticed people coming here for the short term. And then I would say probably right around the beginning to middle of April, we started to notice all of a sudden this market picked up, and mid to end of April, it started to really, just pick up. And last month and April and last month were some of the best months that many of my colleagues and friends all over the state, which is the most intriguing part of this thing for me. And I was predicting, when this happened, I said, I do believe that we'll start to see people travel down to the New Haven train station. Mm-hmm. And from there, I think they'll disperse probably out as far as Madison and maybe up as far as West Hartford. I could never imagine that it would have been, you know, every town, every small town in Connecticut that was seeing this kind of activity. So we're pleased that you know, this cloud had a silver lining, and you know, we're about to enter a campaign where we're going to urge people and try and educate them and let them know this is a good time to sell your house. We can do it safely, and we are doing it safely. We're employing a lot of different technologies which allow us to show houses remotely. 3D technology, so we could, you know, maybe eliminate as many showings as people coming into your house and wearing gloves and booties and masks. So it is something that Connecticut is long overdue for. But we're going to have to do something to keep these people here, right? When the dust settles, we need them to want to stay here.
Yeah, well, and you got to look at the taxes as well. And you've just, you know, I'm running out of time, and you brought up two things I really want to touch upon. One thing that really caught my attention is you mentioned West Hartford. Earlier you said that they wouldn't go any further north than Milford. You know, they'd go as far as Stratford, but they wouldn't want to go to the next, you know, train stop. How would a person who's working in New York, though, choose to live in West Hartford? That would, even by train, that would add more time to your morning and evening commute.
My anticipation is that people are, it's funny, so we were looking at something as an organization. We're trying to put a group of players, influencers in the industry put together and say, what does the workplace in the future look like, right? Yeah. What is it going to look like? What is the office going to look like? And I was talking to some people, and they said, no, my wife works in New York, and her company is going back to New York. That same guy called me. She works for a very prominent company who's moving into Hudson Yards. They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. And they said, you're going to come back. And they've gotten a taste of what it is to get up and have breakfast in the morning, to ride their bikes to the beach. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people aren't going back. And they're going to find alternative employment if the companies will not, you know, oblige them.
Yep.
And so that's where I think the willingness now to say, I'm going to have to go in for meetings. I'm going to have to go in for training. But on the whole, I don't need to be there. So, yes, I'll drive from West Hartford to New Haven and take a 45-minute train ride longer because I don't have to do it every day. And that's where, you know, and time will tell. We'll find out if I was correct and that's what's happening. But even with our own people, we've always been a remote company. We've been a remote company for about 10 years. And, you know, my people wouldn't dream of going to an office every day.